Tales from the Jazz Age by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Narrated by Kenneth Elliott. O Russet Witch. Part 1. Merlin Granger was employed by the Moonlight Quill Bookshop, which you may have visited just around the corner from the Ritz-Carlton on 47th Street. The Moonlight Quill is, or rather was, a very romantic little store, considered radical and admitted dark. It was spotted interiorly with red and orange posters of breathless, exotic intent, and lit no less by the shiny reflecting bindings of special editions than by the great squat lamp of crimson satin light, lighted through all the day, swung overhead. It was truly a mellow bookshop. The words Moonlight Quill were worked over the door in a sort of serpentine embroidery. The windows seemed almost full of something that had passed the literary censors with little to spare, volumes with covers of deep orange which offer their titles on little white paper squares. And over all there was the smell of the musk, which the clever, inscrutable Mr. Moonlight Quill ordered to be sprinkled about, the smell half of a curiosity shop in Dickens, London, and half of a coffee house on the warm shores of the Bosphorus. From 9 until 5:30, Merlin Granger asked bored old ladies in black and young men with dark circles under their eyes if they cared for this fellow or were interested in first editions. Did they buy novels with Arabs on the cover, or books which gave Shakespeare's newest sonnets as dictated physically to Miss Sutton of South Dakota? He sniffed. As a matter of fact, his own taste ran to these latter, but as an employee at the Moonlight Quill, he assumed for the working day the attitude of a disillusioned connoisseur. After he had crawled over the window display to pull down the front shade at 5:30 every afternoon and said goodbye to the mysterious Mr. Moonlight Quill and the lady clerk, Miss McCracken, and the lady stenographer, Miss Masters, he went home to the girl, Caroline. He did not eat supper with Caroline. It is unbelievable that Caroline would have considered eating off his bureau with the collar buttons dangerously near the cottage cheese and the ends of Merlin's necktie just missing his glass of milk. He had never asked her to eat with him. He ate alone. He went into Bragdort's Delicatessen on 6th Avenue and bought a box of crackers, a tube of anchovy paste, and some oranges, or else a little jar of sausages and some potato salad and a bottled soft drink, and with these in a brown package he went to his room at 50-something West 58th Street and ate his supper and saw Caroline. Caroline was a very young and gay person who lived with some older lady and was possibly 19. She was like a ghost in that she never existed until evening. She sprang into life when the lights went on in her apartment at about 6, and she disappeared at the latest about midnight. Her apartment was a nice one, in a nice building with a white stone front, opposite the south side of Central Park. The back of her apartment faced the single window of the single room occupied by the single Mr. Granger. He called her Caroline because there was a picture that looked like her on the jacket of a book of that name down at the Moonlight Quill. Now Merlin Granger was a thin young man of 25, with dark hair and no mustache or beard or anything like that, but Caroline was dazzling and light, with a shimmering morass of russet waves to take the place of hair, and the sort of features that remind you of kisses. The sort of features you thought belonged to your first love, but no, when you come across an old picture, didn't. She dressed in pink or blue usually, but of late she had sometimes put on a slender black gown that was evidently her special pride, for whenever she wore it she would stand regarding a certain place on the wall which Merlin thought most be a mirror. She sat usually in the profile chair near the window, but sometimes honored the chaise lounge by the lamp, and often she leaned way back and smoked a cigarette with posturings of her arms and hands that Merlin considered very graceful. At another time she had come to the window and stood in it magnificently, and looked out because the moon had lost its way and was dripping the strangest and most transforming brilliance into the areaway between, turning the motif of ash cans and clotheslines into a vivid impressionism of silver casks and gigantic gossamer cobwebs.